Las Noches, San Antonio. Welcome to Poto SAFC. It's Shattuck.
Clayton is here, Matthew.
Clayton, what are the words of the chorus? Rup all night? Sleep all day? Is it up all night?
Think about it. If you were a hair band from Vegas in the early 90s, you're singing about being up all night and sleeping all day, right?
Okay, I'm rup all night.
Yeah.
Let me get three guesses. Pantera?
Nope.
White Snake.
Ooh, close. Ooh. Same vibe. White Snake was probably a little bit more class. Probably not pure.
Is that a little poison?
Pure hair band? Nope. Same wheelhouse exactly there. That's gonna be Slaughter. That's gonna be Slaughter. And the reason I picked them is because they're from Las Vegas. But we'll get to that. We'll get to that.
Good tie-in.
Yeah.
We're up all night. You better be up all night because we're not kicking off till 9:30.
Where do you
get
up? Yeah. Where do you fall in your or what are your thoughts on hair bands in that era?
I was so disappointed as a really sheltered kid. I saw these album covers and the videos and the way they dressed and names like Slaughter, and I expected it to be like death metal, like Satan, and then you turn it on and it's like a bunch of hot chicks with tits being like, yeah,
and like the dudes are like wearing lipstick and eyeliner and stuff
that
like that.
High tenor of up, up, yeah. Like we called that gay when I was a kid, and now gay is great and we're all happy, but. Like,
yeah, like those guys are
men that dressed and sung like that. I didn't think of as like manly men.
Like the guys that like from like Slaughter and Warrant and Poison and stuff like that. They are mad that they didn't get to like Harry Styles and what's the kid from Dune? You know, like
Timothée Chalamet.
Yeah, like he's like the acting version. Those guys are like the acting version of glam rock of hair bands. Yeah, does that kind of like
why? Because they're weenies.
Yeah, because they're kind of like. You know, like a little effeminate.
They're
you know,
acting,
and wearing.
Right?
True
on that. No, but I mean, both of them are acting.
Yeah, I get
that
it.
Way.
Yes, good point. Yes, like these guys are putting on a show.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Like being at the wherever on the Sunset Strip in L.A. in like 1992.
Yes,
you know, tearing it up with Motley Crue and stuff like that. Going to the, last time I went out to L.A. I went with my buddy. And he took me to this place called the Rainbow Room, and it's this
yeah, that's the place.
Yeah,
that's
where the hair bands go to die.
Isn't that where Joaquin Phoenix died?
Yes, yes.
That's just hair bands.
Not Joaquin Phoenix, his brother, River Phoenix.
River.
Yeah.
Yes,
River Phoenix.
Whoops.
Yeah.
R.I.P. Swig a tequila for you, River. What's your vibe on hair bands?
You know, I think had I been like the older sibling in my house. Because that was right when my wheelhouse music, like, forming, like, that was, like, high school, middle school for me and stuff like that. But I had an older brother, and so I was listening to, like, Depeche Mode and like, New Order and stuff like that. Like, more the New Wave stuff, The Cure.
Yeah, I feel like that was what was cool.
Right, that wasn't my wheelhouse, so that was, like, my brother's wheelhouse. You know what I'm saying? But because he was playing it on the jam box in the bathroom when he was showering in the morning, that's what I was hearing, and, like... And like I wasn't allowed to change it, you know what I'm saying? So it got like beat into me. Or when we were playing ping pong out in the garage, I was listening to Depeche Mode's,
wow.
You know,
Is that what I need here at the Stimulus Bar?
You know, I played some ping pong in a garage, dude.
These don't actually support any weight. Like you can move them, so I could just take everything out. Well, set the scene. We're back at the Stim Bar. Beautiful night.
Good transition, dude.
Watching some. CONCACAF Champions Cup quarterfinals first leg. I wouldn't have known that, but I read it off the screen. Nothing like some USA-Mexico soccer.
And this probably wouldn't be our first choice selection of games to watch tonight. We'd probably want to watch some crazy Lamar Hunt US Open Cup game.
Yep.
But can we have an opening rant or an opening...
It seems to be our thing lately.
You know,
we're just two old guys.
Something to get a little crotchety about.
I got my glass full of liquor here on ice as I sit in my backyard and bitch.
Yeah.
How do you watch it, guys? But friends of the pod, text me. It's Shattuck. Text Clayton. How in the world do you watch a website on your TV?
So what we're getting at, for those of y'all that we're just kind of dancing around the issue, there are Lamar Hunt US Open Cup games tonight. We've talked about it.
Second round now.
Yeah, like, you know, I sent some texts out about some different names of some crazy teams. Like, ooh, they played a game in the first round, the first soccer game in Vermont ever, something
Vermont
like that.
Green.
Yeah, the Vermont yeah. Green, which I thought was kind of a cool name and stuff like that. Bernie Sanders was there at yeah. the game. Like, the show is apolitical, but, yeah, but...
It's cool to get people somewhere and excited.
Right, but, like, if I knew that that... And actually, I did know that that was going on, but let me watch it.
We watched it on YouTube last time. I tried to watch it tonight. I went to the Twitter. Clayton is over at my house, so I went in, and there's just a bunch of links to websites. So, like, I can watch it on my phone, I guess, on a website on Safari. I could put it on my computer, but, like, I have a TV, and, like, I watch TV. I don't watch
And we
my
watched
phone.
It on YouTube last time, but for some reason that's not working.
I don't find it on YouTube tonight. So, like, last year... There was a U.S. Open Cup YouTube channel.
Right.
So you went there and you could click on it.
Yep.
But now it just says go to their website.
I think we watched the Nashville game over here last year.
Have like, you watched a U.S. Open Cup game at your house this year yet?
Yes. I watched some.
How?
On my Roku through either YouTube TV or something. Or maybe I just saw highlights, like a highlight show somewhere or something like that. But anyway, any of our listeners that are as big or if not bigger soccer geeks than we are, like, let us know how we want to watch it, how we can watch this, because we want to watch it. Like, I'm happy. We talked about this. I'm happy that they're continuing the tournament, that they didn't just stop it. They didn't just let MLS
yeah.
just say, screw you guys. We're not doing this. We're the big swinging dicks around here.
Yeah, and like, we're supporters of that. And also, why it's relevant to me, Clayton, San Antonio will be in the next round. So this is typically the round we have started. Early April.
Yeah, and we want to lay the foundations of figuring out, like, how can we watch this once yeah. it's time to play?
Well, rather than, like, normally we'd go to the game at the stadium True. And be recording right now on a Tuesday. Because MLS dropped out, we get in one round later this year.
True.
So we don't get it till May. And I want to know who we're going to play in May. I want to see who we're going to... I mean, I don't want to watch it all.
No, we're that big of geeks. Fun. We're that big of geeks.
It's fun to put it on and be like, look, it's Sacha Kljestan.
Yeah, we have fun, like, watching the Chattanooga Red Wolves and whoever.
Miami
and there were some spectacular names. I think I threw them out there in the last... But anyway, whoever's listening that has anything to do or knows anything more than us, please let us know.
Yes, U.S. Open Cup.
And you know how you can reach us? You can... She probably have either Matthew or I's number or on our...
Yes.
On our whatever pages we have, Facebook page.
Grubby.
Yeah.
Because I want to watch that Union Omaha Des Moines Menace game tomorrow night, and I don't understand how.
Yeah, that's early alumni watch.
Oh, early.
PC is at Des Moines.
Yeah. Good call. Forgot
yes.
about that.
Yes.
Well, are you ready to talk about SAFC?
Yeah, man.
We're here. We're Puto. You want to do the game recap? You want me to do the game recap? I can go.
Give it a shot. Your final score on Saturday night from Toyota Field, SAFC 2, Monterey Bay 1. That would be your scoring starts off early from Carter Manley in the 7th minute on something crazy that we don't know what to call it, but we'll talk about it. And then in the 45th plus 3 minutes... Monterey Bay equals up on a set piece off of a foul that didn't need to happen. Maybe we'll talk about that.
Yep.
And then, boom, 86-minute blaster.
The winner, chicken
Who's
dinner.
Who's missing master, and we'll talk about that. But in the 86-minute blaster with your winner, there it is, 2-1, SAFC, leaving Toyota Field with a victory. Matthew, what's going on?
Mission accomplished.
I like that title.
My real title was convincing performance, ?
I have just a good soccer game.
Just
a good game of soccering.
Yes, by us or by both teams?
Both teams. That's what it was a good game.
Monterey was pretty good.
I mean, they
weren't spectacular, but they were good.
There was one time, and we're maybe jumping ahead, where Blaster was chasing their guys around.
Kevon Lambert, for those of you who don't know,
yeah,
Blaster.
And they played like... 4 one-touch passes and played out of all this crazy pressure and then got a chance on goal.
Right in front of your seats, right?
Yes, man.
Yeah,
and like they just
half.
Made this spectacular triangle.
Yeah.
Boom, boom, boom. That's when I go, damn, Monterey Bay's got a little something. But anyway.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know. I struggle with the headline. In Spanish, they say contundente. Have you ever heard that?
No, I haven't heard that word.
I had to Google it because I always hear it when a team does well. They're like, una victoria contundente de America. So I Googled it. It means convincing.
Yeah.
I feel like we were good and we controlled the game. We did the things better that we wanted the team to do better.
Yep.
We did what we asked for. We gave up one goal on a silly set piece.
And maybe I'm not translating this right, but convincing doesn't necessarily have to mean just via the scoreline, and that's the only...
No, it's the
way
that play.
The way you look, yes, exactly.
And we weren't dominant.
No.
You wouldn't be like, whoa, we mopped the floor. The stats, whatever. Just eye test, gut test. We were better, and we looked better.
And it could have been a draw, or even if they don't bang that one shot off the crossbar so early, and then they, you know...
Yeah, but we were better, right?
Yes, we were the better team.
And we controlled the game.
Right? Once again, controlled possession.
Controlled the game, though, right?
Yes, yes.
Like, we didn't give up a lot.
We outshot them by, like, 7 or 8.
Yeah.
So, like, in addition to possession... If the possession numbers are in our favor, and the shot numbers... are in your favor,
that's
a convincing win. I think those metrics would go into that word. You know what I'm saying? Like, while that's more of a from the heart and what I saw kind of thing, the numbers that I just kind of stuck out would suggest that that's a convincing win.
You know, Charlie and I in the parking lot, Charlie said 1-1 tie. We named the scores. I think it was Tainer maybe that I said might score, or Agudelo. And I texted you in the second half, like, I think this is looking like a 1-1 tie.
Yep.
But I think it was about the right score. I think we were about better. They were good. We were better and ended up about like it should have, I'd say.
Yes, and we didn't have a lot more good chances than they did, you know, that like...
No, but we were controlled, and when we did get chances, we looked pretty dangerous. Like that.
Yep, so let's go back to the beginning of the game. So we did a little lighthearted meetup in the parking lot.
Yes, easy, low key.
Yeah.
It was easy because parking lot was empty.
Yep.
Charge for parking. Boy, have you ever seen it that empty ever?
There's been a lot of
negative chatter.
A lot of blowback, sustained blowback. Not just like for 1 week, like screw this, and then all of a sudden it's back to normal. This looks like people are taking a stand.
Yeah, people change their pattern, right? They're just going to park at Heroes Stadium, and they're not going to tailgate.
Yeah.
Because it was, I mean, there were people, but my God, it looked like a preseason game.
Do you think that part of maybe Spurs Sports Entertainment's thinking in that is maybe to limit the amount of people totally getting after it in the parking lot before?
That's exactly what I asked Vamos Toros Ben was, are they just like trying to make us buy the beer in the stadium?
I don't think it's that as much as like, you know, if we can curtail a little bit outside, it's like maybe if like you told Bill's Mafia that you can't start tailgating until like 4 p.m. or something like that. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
Like, I don't say that in a cynical kind of way or that I think that our crowds are out of control or anything, but maybe Spurs Sports Entertainment is just like, you know what? Maybe we don't encourage people to drink for four hours straight.
The live band and all that.
I'm just throwing it out there, like, just something to think about.
Maybe. I don't like it.
No, exactly. I don't want anyone telling me not to get there early and support my team. No. Or suggesting that.
Shout out to listener John Deere providing me with a parking pass so that I could get in there and also 8 tickets. Clayton, have you made your mortuary plans?
Oh, wait.
Have you made your mortuary plans? Do you have a death plan? Do you have an end of life plan?
Call the gravedigger.
Just consider Porter Loring. That's all. Thank you, John Deere. We love
the game. Look at you pitching. Look at you pitching for a new sponsor, dude. I love it.
They don't need a sponsor. The guy gave me 8 tickets to share with friends.
I got a message at some point in time from either Spurs Sports Entertainment or Ticketmaster, I don't remember which, saying that there was a problem with the tickets and they wouldn't show up on my phone when I got there.
Ooh.
And the lady wasn't going to let me in. And finally, ooh, I just, my kids had already gone by with my wife. I just blew through.
Yes.
I don't know if other people were having problems with their tickets, but
I did not.
Okay. I had
10 different tickets and they all worked.
They were in my Apple wallet and then they expired or something like that. Ooh. Like, I don't know what happened. But anyway, that's a me problem, I guess. If anybody else had problems with that. Like, sorry.
Well, two things we noticed when we walked back in the stadium. Bye-bye, Mo Abu.
Yes. I got lots of questions about that.
Quest.
Which was a good sign that people were paying attention and knew, you know what I'm saying? Because they didn't say anything before the game, or, you know, like, he just wasn't on the bench. And that wouldn't be the first time he wasn't on the bench, you know?
Yeah.
But, like, good sign that people are still, because I bet three or four people around me go, man, bummer about
Where is he?
Yeah, or why is he leaving? They already had the information.
Information? Why is he leaving?
So Mo Abu retired.
Well, yeah, but do you know why?
No, I don't.
Ah, I got the inside scoop.
Okay.
From Vamos Toros Ben.
Okay.
Because Mo Abu does coach youth.
Yes.
And he had a newborn baby in the offseason.
Oh, great job.
And I don't want to go too deep into what the sources say, but the sources say new baby, came back and just, you know what, evaluated and decided it's time to be with his kid.
Everything's got to be the right fit for the right person.
I think it's his third kid.
You know what?
Second or third kid, and he's just going to be there and be dad.
We all have to prioritize. Yeah. Right? We all have to make tough decisions.
Hell of a player. Loved watching you play, Mo Abu.
14 years as a professional.
Manchester City? You got the full Wikipedia?
I got all the different, played in MLS, La Liga, Ligue 1, Norway, and for the Ghanaian national team.
Guinea.
I think Ghanaian.
Ghana.
Yes, okay. The Ghanaian. Wow. Ghanian. Yes. Played in the Africa Cup of Nations, it said, and something else. Oh, World Cup qualifiers for them.
I think he was a Man City property. Yes. You know, they loan people out.
Yes, at one point in time. He never played for them, and so never played in the Premier League, and so I don't think that's why that was listed. But, man, like, consummate professional.
Yeah.
One way to describe him.
Great player.
Best player out on the field for us a lot of times. Like, player.
A lot of games.
For a lot of games. We talked just literally last week how our win was, or our second goal was because of him making an exceptionally cagey
and athletic
play
to
start off a counterattack that we, like, I think you can hold your head up high for sure if that's the last thing you're giving us, you know?
Man, we kind of need him.
Also, here's one thing I want to, like, because it's going on right now. I also remember reading he was the subject of a big article in on the USL website either last season or the season before last, because during Ramadan he fasts.
Yeah.
And plays.
Yeah, last year. Like, oh, we are in Ramadan.
Yeah.
And that's what he got, like, a week into Ramadan, I'm just like, this is killing.
Just I gotta eat, guys. I gotta eat. I'm sorry. Like,
no, I can't. I can't be.
I can't
around.
Do both. I can't play and not eat.
And not eat and have a kid, sleep, crying all night long.
That's what he seems like to me. Like a very just stand up guy. Like,
oh yeah,
you know. And
never committed a play that made you shake your head.
And not like
very upstanding on the field.
And not like, guys, I'm not going to play because I got Ramadan going on.
Scored a goal
last year. Yes.
Last year during Ramadan, scored a header, his second professional goal, because the man plays a lot of defensive mid.
I mean, like, what's the longest you could go without eating and do anything, like, athletic?
Yeah,
other
no, forget it. No, forget it.
But anyway, like, he super important piece of our championship team.
Ooh, good call.
Like,
good call.
I think I've seen on Facebook or somewhere that he gives lessons. I don't know if he's still going to be
a trainer.
If he's going to be a coach and that's what he's going to do.
Individual.
From here on out.
You can find his card if you have kids and need an individual coach.
I would love to turn my kids over to him at some point in time and let him teach them how to be a good soccer player. Because he was. He was a really good soccer player
Composed
for us.
Composed player.
So anyway, yes, he was not out there. What else did you notice about the first? First half.
I think we need to invite Mo Abu out to our Sunday game because
ha!
We're an international group. We've had a few center mids from the SAFC team come play with us.
True.
Mo Abu, we will be finding you and calling you.
Next in line after Lahoud.
8:30 UIW. I'll see you Sunday. Bring a black and a white, okay? We have lights and darks.
Oh, no slide tackling, Mo. So don't slide me from behind and take the ball and start a counterattack.
Yeah, I never did that, though. That ain't him. Speaking of players coming back, retired. Did you already say it while I was talking over you?
No.
Welcome back. Got his 100 game jersey pregame, Connor Maloney.
Oh, my God. What a nice surprise that was.
Yes. Halftime.
At halftime, yes.
Yes, sorry.
But friend of the pod, Dr. Becker, and sponsor of our Puro Pick 4, was like, don't bring the bubble guys out while Connor is getting his. Now, they may have waited to start the actual bubble bumping at halftime.
Like, no, they're going to the background. They're going to the background.
Were they really?
Yeah.
Was he walking around with his lovely wife, like, or whoever that was that he was walking around with, like, waving
probably
and stuff like that? Like, let him take his lap.
Yes. And
or you can be playing while he's taking his lap. I'm sorry.
Good tradition. Good tradition.
Yeah, we're not saying.
No, no, no. I'm moving on.
Oh.
You can be all negative.
I thought you were going to say good tradition, bubble soccer. Yes, keep bubble soccer. Yes. Just don't do it while Connor Maloney is being honored.
Kids live for bubble soccer. My children, that is their only interest at the games. Is what's that thing called that you buy that's candy corn or something? The candy cane crap that you spin.
Oh, the cotton candy.
Cotton candy and bubble soccer, man. That's what kids like.
What was the significance of the 100 on the jersey they
he
gave
him? He got 100 caps.
Exactly.
100 games for us.
Did he really?
Just like Mitch Tanner got one last week, they brought Connor back and said, hey, you got 100 games too.
But he didn't end on 100 games. He just
100 plus.
Okay, there we go.
But they never used to do that. So maybe Matt Cardone needs to come back and get his 100. This is a good tradition. And listener Caroline pointed it out. She said, that's a good tradition. They should do that for everyone.
Like,
so
we talk about, like, SAFC needs to be a little bit more, like, interactive.
Yes.
With, like, honoring the history of soccer in San
yes.
Antonio. So honor that history
yes.
of people that gave it their all for SAFC.
Put their jersey along the club seats. All our 100 match players. Because that's 3 full seasons of every game. If not more, 4 seasons. So
I mean, he went Iron Man. Maloney went Iron Man one season, didn't he? Or maybe that was
pretty,
Darnell.
Yeah.
Maybe that was
Kai Green. Also.
Yeah, maybe that was Kai Green or
but
something
Maloney
like that.
Maloney played a ton. But Cardone, maybe it's the little man. Anyway, congratulations, Connor Maloney.
So that was
and to, a reminder. I meant to listener Jenica. I shared that we're trying to get Connor on the show. And we will be reaching out to him. Hopefully, we'll have a little.
Now would be the perfect time.
I know. I meant to do it Saturday night.
I mean, I think if we did that, if we had him on, that may rival Lahoud episode.
Ooh,
for most listened to.
I was a little toasty in terms of toasted Saturday night, so I meant to text him when I saw him at the game.
Oh, you were gonna drunk dial Connor on
and
his special
maybe
night.
Maybe it's better I did.
I miss you, Sarge. Sarge, I miss you.
Yes. Come back, Sarge.
I love that, dude. I love that. So that takes care of the off-the-field stuff.
It does.
All right. On the field.
I have something I want to point out. Same back three. Every game this year, every minute. How about that?
Yeah.
And keeper, so the back four. Tanner, Burks, Manley, and Cisniega. I like that.
I mean, especially if we're changing the way that we're going to play, and they're going to have the ball at their feet as much as they're going to have the ball at their feet.
Well, and it showed much better at that, right?
They just announced the team of the week on Tuesday. Mitch made it.
I did not know that.
I thought for sure Manley.
Yeah.
But Mitch made it. But they credited him with the assist, of course, on goal number 2.
Fair.
And I can't remember the exact stats that he had, but he won all his duels
whatever.
And his challenges. But they had
his passing
percentage way high.
Much better.
And we talked about
much
like
better.
From week 1 to here, what were we, week 3?
Growing pains.
Or week 4?
Yep.
Week 4, it's getting better.
We did not have any turnovers in our back third.
Not that I remember.
Right?
Not that I remember.
No oopsie moments. No uh-oh. We had no uh-ohs, and that's a huge improvement
yep.
over the like 10 uh-ohs in week 1.
Not that I remember at all. You want to talk goal?
I just want to say before the goal, consistency is good, and I like that.
Yeah, of course.
And I wonder if our new control the ball, control the game, control ourselves system, maybe we don't see as many injuries. Did you notice?
We talked about that at the like.
We did. We said maybe it might help. Maybe that was why we had so many injuries. Injury report is one guy, Luis Solniak, all year long, and now we got a second guy that we'll talk about later, I guess, that Silva got hurt. But Silva didn't get hurt playing crazy ball. He just got
no. I mean, that's just his game. He goes up and down, up and down. He's going to get fouled.
There you
you're
go.
Out there on the flank, and you're doing a 1v1 battle, and you're gonna
sometimes knees hit knees or
whatever. Yes. Good point to bring up that at this point in the season, we haven't seen the wear and tear. Like, remember the last couple of seasons?
Yes.
Like, within the first 5 to 6 games, we're like, dude, they gotta go out and sign somebody. We're not going to have enough guys to field a team, or else we're going to have to put all the academy kids out there.
Thank you.
Right? Yeah. That's 100%. And
I think the control helps.
Yeah, that's a good point. I hadn't thought about things in that term. Because
we're not running around like meth head mice or something. Like,
nope. Nope.
You wanted to talk first goal?
Yeah, seven minutes in, right? It's pretty early in the game.
Yeah. Talk us through it or me talk us through it?
You talk me through it. Down.
It's a corner kick, all right? Jorge Hernandez takes the corner kick. It clears everybody. Back post score and play, Mitch Tanner. It clears him, but it's so gentle. Mitch collects it, puts it back in. And guess what?
Back to Jorge.
Damned if it doesn't clear everyone and go back to Jorge. We're playing like mixed doubles across the net.
Oh, we got the guys. But we still have our Biggins in the box at that point. Biggins in the box.
So Jorge puts it in for the third time to the Biggins in the box. Aguadelo goes up, contests it with a defender.
It's not Aguadelo. It's Burks.
It's definitely Aguadelo.
Was it? I thought it was Corey Burks.
I see this at 17. Not Corey Burks. I swear. Yeah, Burks. Yeah, center Burks. Back. Well. We can say that you think it's one. Good play. Contest the header.
Basically, that's what I meant to say. Like, somebody is contesting the header and making it difficult for the other guy.
Yeah, they kind of can't tell who hits it, in my opinion.
Like, that's really important. And I don't know how you teach that to kids or whatever, but like.
Never say die, even if you're not going to get it.
You see it for a lot of time from little guys that have no business in there even trying, but they do because they just do enough to put somebody off.
Yeah, instead of a clearance.
It messes things up.
Yes, make their job harder and they're less likely to do it well.
Yeah, there you go.
Good call. And then it kind of pops up in the air. It's their defender and Carter Manley. Their defender kind of flinches or doesn't move or doesn't get the ball, and Manley just sticks a foot up in there and he blanks it.
That's a he swivel hips it. How about that? Is that a word that you'd find acceptable? He swivel hips it.
I'll give credit to Marcina and Manley in the post-game press conference. Neither one of them called it a bicycle kick.
I think I saw overhead.
Overhead kick I would go with because it was overhead. The ball traveled over his head. Sideways scissor? Overhead scissor?
I was just going to kind of say a hip swivel leg throw.
But, I mean, his foot's at eye level when he kicks it.
He's trying to do that. He is trying to make the ball go over his head, back the other direction.
Back the other direction.
That's what it is. More than over his head, it's just back the other direction.
Yes. And gently.
Yes, because he's not perpendicular.
He knows he can't bike it and hit it hard.
He's not perpendicular to the goal. He's more catty corner to the goal.
Yes.
And his catty cornerness makes the ball go exactly where the keeper isn't.
He's not shooting. He's just putting it back into the goal area,
He is not Pelé in victory. It's not doing that. There wasn't slow motion music, and the Führer from Max von Sydow does not get up and start clapping before it happens. Like, we were all very surprised. There was a delayed reaction when the ball went in the back of the net.
Yes. I wish you'd been there Sunday morning at UIW because I did a bicycle kick in his honor. And it didn't go in. It didn't really go close. But I hit bicycle and kicked it somewhere.
Was his back foot ever off the ground? Not or really. Was his plant foot, I should say. Was
not
his plant foot ever off the ground?
Not by a lot.
I think for it to be bicycle, your plant
foot. No, it's not a bicycle kick.
Yeah.
It is not.
Yeah.
But what I meant by his foot got eye level was he got up there. It wasn't nothing. It wasn't down there a foot off the ground, right?
It wasn't much more.
Don't pull a hammy.
It wasn't much more acrobatic than that.
No, but that wasn't acrobatic, but it could have been. The picture does it justice. His leg's up there.
Yeah.
Good for him.
I mean, goal of the week nominee. And I went on there and voted for him. And I'm surprised the other three were kind of, he should be winning by a lot. He's just winning by like 1 percentage point.
Good. It wasn't that impressive, but it was that impressive at the same time.
All right, so we're up 1-0 at that point.
Then kind of snooze through the first
Lull through the rest of the first half. Is that when they just rip the crossbar? When that guy just pinged it off the crossbar.
Yeah, but he was far out, and it was high up on the crossbar.
Yeah, so the rest of the half goes...
I wasn't scared, but we looked like we just wanted to get to halftime. We wanted to take our 1-0 lead and go in and drink some water.
We did, and...
Not good vibes at the end of the half.
No.
Finish the half. There it is. Lesson for the team. Coach Shad says, finish the half.
Well, was the Silva injury was in the first half.
40th minute.
So he has a shoulder injury that takes a while for him to get tended to. And then it looks like he falls on it again. And it looked like he wasn't moving his arm. So that wasn't very good.
And then we got to put Omar in the game.
Yeah, there we go.
You know it was before this because who commits a foul?
Right. Oh, that's why I bring this up.
Needless foul, Omar. Commits a needless foul.
He just kind of, he overruns the ball in open space, and then just kind of slides down and grabs the guy and pulls him down.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy wasn't going to go in on goal or be on a fast break.
Not threatening.
No, but...
Unnecessary foul,
Omar. But it's a threatening spot to take a free kick from.
Omar, we want physicality when it's needed, not just for the sake of physicality.
I think he just kind of slipped.
Yeah.
And then, but then if you slip, then let him go. Thank you. Go. Yeah.
Unnecessary.
Use that Notre Dame education, dude, and make a smart really decision. He did go to Notre Dame.
Wow.
Yeah.
He ain't terrible, but it ain't the first time we've seen it. And so when it comes back to bite you, it's like, well.
Right. And the fact that we just spent 2 minutes talking about that obviously means that leads to their goal.
We disapprove.
Ball is swung. It's an outswinger.
Yeah.
And their guy gets in between two of our guys. It looked like maybe one. It was Lambert that I think ultimately he ended
Lambert's
up on the other side of.
On him.
But somebody passed him off to Lambert, I think. Was it Hugo?
Hugo's in there, and they run a little pick play.
But it's
Lambert's guy all along.
He does a good job. I'm not taking anything away from their goal.
Good
it's a
finish.
Really good ball in, and it's a really good finish. He
yes.
slides, takes
yes.
it out of the air, and puts it the opposite way that our keeper is going as he moves back across the goal. Good finish. You gotta be a little bit better and can't let the guy get on the other side of you.
You left out the whiff.
Did somebody swing and miss?
Comes in, goes right over the head of, I think, Burks and a man. And Tainer's right there. Not marking anyone, and he kind of gets stuck between head and foot and thigh.
Okay.
And he kind of does like a semi-karate kid, kind of like, oh, do I head it down or do I kick it up? And it goes right at like arm level.
Mm-hmm.
If it were football, he would have caught it.
It was like at that awkward, place.
He's got to plant and just head it out.
Yeah, man.
He just makes a weird, awkward, because I think he thinks someone's going to flick it. It goes right over the head of those two guys, and he's kind of like anticipating a flick. And when it doesn't get flicked, it goes right by.
You just got to go Harry Maguire at that point and just blockhead it out of there. Just blockhead it out. Get it out.
Just get in the way.
Yeah.
Just get in the way. Yeah. And I think that's what throws off Lambert, is that it was kind of like, whoop, good finish.
I wasn't like, oh, man, we're in trouble here. But it's definitely a momentum killer.
It was a womp womp.
Yeah, it's definitely a momentum killer.
Because otherwise, we're winning 2-0, just like last week.
Yeah.
We're going to come out. We'll figure something out. We're good on goal. We have the game under control. We just needed to get into halftime, readjust to having Omar on the field and not Silva, and move on.
Yeah, so I left at halftime because, one of the children fell asleep in Michelle's arms.
Whoa.
So, like, but got home 5 minutes into the second half.
Didn't
miss much.
We don't need to talk about anything. It was a lot of good soccer, a lot of passing. Both teams. I was impressed by Monterey. I was impressed by us.
Yeah.
Good game, but I don't know. Did you think someone was going to score, or did you think it was going to be 1-1?
I thought it was probably going to end 1-1.
Yeah.
End 1-1.
Yeah.
Neither team looked like they were really pressing.
They weren't threatening us
at all. Here's something that I want to talk about a little bit tactically. I'm noticing more than the last couple of years when a lot of times we're getting our top two attackers, we're not getting as many numbers forward.
Yeah,
because we're not pressing.
Yeah.
And so I'm seeing a lot of 1v3 and 2v4
when we do win
the ball.
Yeah.
And I don't know how to fix it is the word, or make it so that so we're seeing more numbers forward, or whether that's just because we're playing the way we're going to play.
I think that's the way we're going to play. We've scored two goals in every game this year.
Well, and when Aguadelo and Jorge, when they get the ball at their feet, they want to drive forward. They want to go forward.
Sure.
So if they're receiving the ball from either the guy outside or one of our center midfielders, it seems like they're turning and going forward.
Yeah.
And then that's leaving a two v, that's the numbers game that I'm talking about. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but if we're getting – what I meant by we've scored two goals every game is we're getting two goals a game.
Yeah.
Like, we're trying to win 1-0 and 2-0, aren't we?
True.
We're not trying to play 4-3.
I get that.
You start throwing numbers up there.
Right, we're not doing Leeds United. We're not doing with the Chile guy, whatever his name
Bielsa.
Is. Yeah, Bielsa. Yeah, we're not doing Bielsa soccer, no.
So I guess yes, and I'm okay with it.
Yeah, and I'm not saying this – I just – it was just on my eyes. I just noticed that I hadn't seen
– Yeah. I don't really think we're going to score.
Yeah.
Going 2-4.
Well, I mean, Aguadelo has been so good so far. I mean,
Jorge's so good.
And they usually beat their first man.
Well,
so then all of a sudden it's.
If you got our back three and our top two, maybe you like those numbers.
Good point.
Maybe you say our back three are good enough that we don't worry.
I wasn't right.
I wasn't worried about them scoring at all.
No,
it was like, can we craft something?
They didn't look like they were going to hit us on the counter or. I didn't even see that guy, that Dixon guy out there that was supposedly their guy, that's their MVP, the number 10.
Yeah,
he wasn't even out there.
Me either.
The most dangerous player they have is that guy that's played for like the Honduran or El Salvadorian national team forever, Walber Martinez or whatever his name is. That guy's a good sneaky player, dude.
Yes.
That guy's smooth.
Good transition, though, to the second goal, which is how do we get the goal? Jorge Jitterbugs gets fouled.
Yep.
Gets the free kick. Guess what? Jorge's taking the free kick. Mitch Tainer runs a scoring play. And it was Alex Martinez. It was like, hey, we haven't done that Tainer head across thing yet this year. We need a goal off of that.
Oh, did he call it before?
And I go, let's run the scoring play.
Did y'all call it, really?
He called it. And I just called it the scoring play.
You piggybacked?
Hell yeah, he called it.
That's awesome.
He totally called it. Because he pointed out that we haven't done it yet, I don't think, for a goal.
Did it go directly to Lambert, or did somebody or did they whiff? Were there a couple of whiffs by them?
No, directly to Tainer, and then Tainer just puts it right across. There's some bodies, and I think all the bodies kind of mash, so it sneaks through to Lambert.
Right, nobody can get their legs out of the mash to swing at it because nobody wants to commit a foul or something like that.
It was right in that zone of discomfort.
I thought maybe for a second, if I remembered it, that like it was going to be the third week in a row where someone like kind of takes a swing and a miss, and it kind of ricochets to the guy who then puts it in the back of the net.
Like,
you know, it was almost like that, right?
Gypsy Falsy.
Yes.
I wondered if they were going to give an assist on our first goal for that header that was pretty clearly off the defense. That was, it was like, are they going to try and give that to Aguadelo or Burks?
Yeah.
I think Tainer cleanly, it's not like he knew where it was going. He's just putting it in there.
Man,
great finish.
How nice is it to watch Blaster every week?
Blaster. Master is gone and Blaster remains.
He was so when I saw that we signed him, I probably should have been like, hell yes, from all the years we've watched him play. But like at Phoenix, weren't they playing him at center back?
A lot.
Didn't he
Jamaica play too?
Right. And like, I don't think that's obviously not his best position.
Well,
because we were I was never impressed by him at that position for Phoenix.
Well, would you put him on our back line? I would. I think he'd be just fine.
If one of these three goes down. He can play there.
Yes.
But what I'm saying is it's so much more noticeable where he is now for me. And I have such a greater appreciation for what he's doing.
He's still kind of an underrated guy, though. Like, he's making the play in midfield where he just stands there and he's huge and he's got the ball. And you're like, huh, well, that guy's big.
And, like, when he wants to, like, win it back after it's been lost, he can, like, just put his hand on your shoulder and then just take his legs and reach across you and take it back and just kind of keep you in place.
There's a lot of that, though, right? Where it's just kind of like, nah, I'm going to take the ball now.
Yeah, like, exactly.
I'm going past that way.
Yes, and that's what I'm saying. It's been such a pleasure to watch him. What a shrewd, good signing by SAFC.
Well, he's on loan from Real Salt Lake.
Oh, that's right. That's what it is. Duh.
Famos Torres Ben is very worried that Kevon Lambert will not be here for long.
Quit playing so good, Kevon. Quit playing so good. And actually, it probably has nothing to do with how he's playing here. It's just it's all about their roster.
I don't think he's playing so good, but he's playing so good.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm real happy that he's my MVP pick. He's looking... How... I'm just more amazed than anything that he can do a backflip. That was awesome. Oh, you weren't there.
Oh, no, I saw it. Like, they showed it on the replay.
There was big team energy that celebration.
That's a big dude flipping himself all the way over. He's long.
Mitch sprinted faster than he did the whole game over there. It was a good celebration.
I mean, it wasn't like a backhand spring. It was a full back flip from a handspring.
Didn't see that coming.
Like, with a round off and a twist. What is he,
6'2"?
Yeah, he's like three Simone Bileses. Like, he's like three Simone Bileses, and he did like... You know, when she was whipping around on the pommel horse or whatever it's called.
I mean, if he were American, I might be wanting to see if maybe some way he could get up to MLS and get a look with Team USA. I'm just saying, like, he's good almost everything.
I had never been super impressed by him while watching him at Phoenix or with Jamaica.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, wow.
I think I have been impressed. Maybe it's top level speed. Is that what he doesn't have? Like, he's never going to beat anybody in a foot race.
I mean, those strides are pretty like...
He makes up for it with
that. But he had a couple of where he was booking it back, and they weren't running away from him. Yes, like down the center.
But he's not going to go to the corner and sprint to a ball.
No.
He's just going to stay. It's like an enormous Moebu.
It's a pleasure watching him, and I'm glad he is there, especially now that Abu is retired. Because hopefully he can mentor the new Muhammad.
Omar is just a Kevon clone that's not as good. Who would you... Transitioning, starting to get towards Saturday's game, Abu retired. They put Luke Hutchinson in the middle.
He did. So
start
he moved
the game.
So when Silva, oh,
to start the
to
game,
start the game. Yes,
Luke Hutchinson in the middle.
Hutchinson, I want to take just a quick second. Has been good.
He's played forward. He's played midfield.
And we are yet to see him at his best. When he has the ball at his feet, every single time I get a little. I think there's going to be something.
He's good. Then he moves out to replace Silva, and Omar comes in. There's other names on the roster. Who would you be starting right now? Like Saturday. In the center midfield next to Blaster. Who's our new master? Because right now, Kevon is master and Blaster.
I think Hutchinson back in the middle.
Me too.
Yes.
Me too.
I think, and I haven't seen a huge sample size so far, but I think I'd prefer Hutchinson with Omar coming off the bench.
He's got that little guy energy.
Yeah. Wasn't impressed by Hugo in his first start.
He's 19.
True.
I like him more. Sorry, but I like him more than you, Cameron Lacey. Cameron Lacey's just fine.
Yeah,
those two guys seem to be just battling for the spot of guy who gets subbed out after 60 minutes.
I get that.
I think Hugo's got more room to grow. Maybe
Hugo with Aguadelo was kind of like a poor man's Big Sam and Tiny O.
Yeah,
was that kind of,
very
was
much.
That, was a poor that poor man's partnership right there?
Very much.
Okay. All right.
I just say, once again, Aguadelo continues to impress me with his effort and just soccer.
Like we said, we both said that we were not impressed by that signing. Color me wrong.
Yeah.
We totally should have been. I'm going to apologize to Juan right now. Juan, I am sorry. And keep it up. I hope you have this in the tank all season long.
Hey, Juan, let's have a beer.
I mean,
it's on me.
Yeah.
Maybe off season, but welcome to San Antonio. And man, you are showing up.
Yeah, dude. Well, like,
appreciate it.
When he touches the ball, he's immediately dangerous.
Yes.
Like immediately
he has
looking
to be accounted for.
Immediately looking to take somebody on. Yes. They need to know where he is on the field at all time. He is winning balls. And he's doing like the Bailone like flicks and the Solniak flicks and that's hard yeoman like work. You know what I'm saying? There's nothing glamorous in that.
He's got a lot more in his tool bag than I thought he had.
Yeah, there you go.
Like, I thought he was just a dribbler guy, all flash, but a lot of substance there.
Yep.
A lot of substance.
Yeah. I mean, going up and like battling those big physical center backs win those balls and stuff. If I was 32, I wouldn't want to do that.
I think that was his header. Someone will correct us and tell us who it was. Are you ready to talk about Las Vegas Lights Saturday night?
Yeah, man, let's move forward.
Okay, Saturday night.
Home of Slaughter.
9:30 p.m.
9:30 start time.
On your ESPN Plus streaming. Crocketeers having an Alamo beer party. So if you want to go have some beers on Saturday night, get lit. I've got my children, so I won't be there, but I really recommend that if you've never done it. It's a super cool place. Great atmosphere. At night, it'll be
beautiful. It really is. I've had a great time every single time. I've maybe gone 5 or 6 times to their supporters group, and they're fun.
I've been to that in the past where we went once, and we were like, well, that sucked. Screw it.
Yes.
At other places.
Yes.
They got it right with Alamo Beer. So yep. Crocketeers, good choice. James Hope, president.
All right. So we're playing Las Vegas. Your new look, Las Vegas Lights, under new ownership this season.
That's one of my three things.
For Texas Rangers fans, you will know their new owner, Jose Bautista, that played for the Toronto Blue Jays for years and years and years, was involved in that little freckus.
Bat flipper.
Yes.
He's flipping bats all through Vegas now.
So I think he kind of was won the bidding war, because I had some information that from a couple of different people that I know that were trying to purchase the Las Vegas Lights.
Well.
There was an ownership group that was being led by Giannis Antetokounmpo that was not able to get them.
They should buy the RGV Toros, because that's still not a team.
But Lights in last place in the West last season, but have shown a little bit of life recently.
Yeah, 2 wins and 2 losses.
Yeah, 2 wins and 2 losses.
Not bad at all.
This
is a laughingstock franchise that's suddenly okay.
Yeah, like, and I don't know if they still have, like, the poker tables, like, right there on the sideline and stuff that we love, and they...
You know what, listeners? If you're not at Alamo Beer, just pour yourself, like, what do you drink in Vegas? Is it an old-fashioned?
I drink White Russians, but...
There you go. Pour yourself a White Russian, like, get on your fuzzy recliner, and put on the game. You're going to see some hilarious... That awful, like, 30-foot-high wall in center field.
It's a spectacle.
It's something.
It's a spectacle.
Do not adjust your TV sets. That is their stadium.
Oh, yeah, and don't adjust your TV sets, because that is Fabian Garcia playing center back for them. Here's another alumni watch.
SAFC alumni, Fabian Garcia.
Pour a little out for Fabian. We'll be rooting for you, but not particularly on Saturday night.
I hope you're not listening, Fabian, but listeners, he's lost a step, so we should do a little bit speed attack. I think we can get the better of him.
That's, as we know from watching, that's where he can be vulnerable, was because it's certainly not in the hairless legs department, because he's rocking that. I think Fabian probably fits in pretty well in Las Vegas.
He's a good-looking man.
Probably has a lot of different tinted shades that he wears around town, and hair is coiffed very well. A couple other things about Las Vegas, and we'll stay in the baseball department. Their goalie is the Cuban national team goalie and is also the older brother of Randy Arozarena, that was the World Series MVP for the Tampa Bay Devil Rays 3 years ago when they won the World Series.
All right.
Yeah, two Cuban defecting brothers that ended up in professional sports, and one is the goalie for the Las Vegas Lights.
Say his name again.
His name is Reiko, R-A-I-K-O, Arozarena. His brother's name is Randy Arozarena, and plays left field for the Tampa Bay Rays.
Still.
Yes. Oh, dude, he's an all-star.
Like, I know, but usually the all-stars leave Tampa Bay. Still in Tampa Bay.
I mean, I think... Well, anyway, yeah, we won't get into baseball contracts.
I got a couple players.
Go ahead.
Solomon Asante.
Just a staple.
Former teammate of Kevon Lambert.
Yep.
And according to the pronunciation guide that the team sent out, it's Kevin.
Okay.
Not Kevon.
Oh, so that's right. Sorry. You sent that out.
Kevin. Apparently. Solomon Asante was a stud in Phoenix.
That's like the Jamaican English spelling.
Sure. Went off to somewhere not Phoenix for a couple years, and now he's in Las Vegas. He's lost a step. He's a wee little lad. But if you're watching this game with your kids... Point out little Solomon, because he's like 5'4", just Moebu energy, just smiley, happy, fun, joyful soccer player.
All-time points leader maybe in MLS, I mean in USL history?
I don't know, but he had some seasons with like 20 goals and 20 assists.
He has over 50 goals and 50 assists. I think he may be the only player. And back-to-back MVP.
Ooh.
He was.
Back-to-back. All-time great in the USL.
There you go. If you have the all-time starting 11, he's on the list for sure.
Also, Joe Zhao.
Boom.
Joe Zhao.
Yeah, those are the other two I had written down.
3 caps for the USA. I remember when he was at Dortmund and he was a thing.
We thought he was going to be something.
Yep.
We thought he was going to really... We didn't know what position, really.
Winger.
Was he a winger or was he a nine?
Speed winger. He could play for it, but he's a speedy, dribbly winger.
Saw him be good in some Youth World Cups.
I saw him be good against Colombia with the real national team.
Yeah.
He can dribble.
I mean, he had a pretty good long spell in Scandinavia.
Yep.
Like playing in like Norway, Sweden, and somewhere else.
Just can't buy new knees, so.
Yeah.
Here he is. I feel bad. He's 31 years old. He's playing in the Las Vegas Pony Show. But hey, I hope he kills it.
He's had a good professional soccer career, I think.
I guess.
Maybe it's not what it
not what, what it could have been.
Yeah, exactly.
Injuries.
Yes.
What about Edson Azcona?
I saw that and I didn't have a chance to check everything, but is he the young one on
loan from Inter Miami?
Really?
They signed this kid to a big contract as like a 20-year-old. So, we'll see if he's got anything.
They have some parts there. The cupboard is not bare.
More than they used to.
As much as I don't want to root or give Jose Bautista props.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But I do kind of root for them because that's Charlie's team that he picked in the West. Like,
ooh,
yeah.
Ooh,
anyway.
Charlie off.
Is that a transition moment?
Yes.
Are we going to transition into that?
Yes.
Yeah. Let's talk Becker Pick 4 Beat the Pod Guys Challenge brought to you by Becker Vineyards.
Yeah. I saw Dr. Becker in his medical offices last week, right by my school.
Any press is good press, Doc.
Sadly, Dr. Becker don't have the standings update from Josh yet. So we'll put that out as soon as we get it, but we can go around the league.
Did he need to cork you like a bottle of wine?
Sure. Yeah, I guess. No, I don't know.
What does that mean, Clay?
I don't know. I need to be... So, around the league, how about I tell you a score and you tell me what you think?
Okay.
Louisville 5, Birmingham 0.
Maybe we picked the wrong year to get off the Louisville bandwagon.
There's 3-0-0.
Yeah, and they've scored more goals than anybody else in the USL.
Also 3-0-0, Detroit.
Yep.
Beat Indy 2-1.
Yep. Detroit, I think the biggest question mark about them was where are they going to get some offense from? Because they've really struggled offensively last year.
Yeah.
They've been putting up some goals this year. They seem to have it, I don't know, figured out, but... They're definitely improved so far.
And I zoomed right over it. But Louisville hosting Indy in this week's CBS game.
I mentioned it last week, and we were 1 week off. I thought it was this weekend.
Saturday, 3 o'clock,
and
this week.
But not CBS Sports Network, not CBS Golazo, not CBS Streaming. Like the old school, like if you have Channel 4, Channel 5, and Channel 12.
Channel 5.
This is just old school Channel
like
5.
SEC football.
CBS at 3 o'clock Central Time.
Wow, that's the SEC big game slot.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I guess... Like, yes, it's a dead weekend. You know, most people will be watching the Valero Open, mm-hmm. and there's no college basketball. But you know what? Good. Right?
Good, sure.
Yes, it's good for the league.
I'm not as excited as the league seems to be, but hey, it's on my calendar, Clayton. I wrote it on there.
I'll tune in at some point. At some point,
yes.
Whatever Nielsen family is filling out their book, like, they can chalk me in as one of the people watching it.
Out West, OC 1. Tulsa 0 puts them in a tie with Sacramento 1, Memphis 0. OC, Sacramento, and SAFC are all tied with 8 points at the top of the West.
Those scores don't necessarily do anything for me, but I have this. Phoenix and Pittsburgh, both either on the bottom or near the bottom of their respective divisions. Pittsburgh is dead last
in the East. Yep.
And Phoenix is, like, second to last.
Yes,
like,
and El Paso's down there, too.
Surprising or just the nature of the USL?
I don't know. It's early. We'll
yeah,
see.
Like, not a big enough sample size yet for us to be having this conversation.
Yeah, and I thought the USL had teams that were always good, and I picked Pittsburgh. So, what do I know?
Yeah, you know, at the same time, Hartford and somebody else.
Hartford Athletic near the top.
Near the top as well. But, like you said, too early. Too early, and we don't have the standings from intern Josh and stuff like that. But when we get those, we'll put them out there. We get a lot of people want to see those numbers, don't they?
People are into the Pick 4.
People want to see those numbers, and good. I love that.
We got more entries, and Ian from the parking lot is in first as of last time. So hey,
We'll have an update later this week.
Oh, by the way, he told me at soccer that he'd listened. He appreciated the shout out, and he's enjoying the show.
Good. Love it. Thank you, new listeners.
Listener Ian.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I've got. Do you have a free kick, Clayton? Do you have free kicks brought to you by Trevino Tile? Three generations of all your tiling needs.
And ceramics.
Ask for them by name.
You got it.
www.trevinotile.com. Now working with Adapt also. Adapt featuring Trevino Tile.
Do I have a free kick? I don't think I have one off the top of my head right now. What do you got?
I don't really either, but how about this? Once again, top of the EPL, the game we've been looking forward to for months, if not weeks, Man City Arsenal. Did you watch?
Yes.
During church, like I basically skipped Jesus to watch this game.
Right.
And just what a
clunker.
The Easter Bunny laid a rotten egg.
Oh, much better analogy.
0-0, boring.
No real chances.
No. Nope.
What do you attribute it to? Like
high pressure.
Guardiola and what's his name knowing each other so well. Arteta knowing each other so well.
Teams are too good.
Too
much on the line.
Is it one of those stalemate games, like a third game in a World Cup qualifying group where neither team is going to do anything to screw the other team over and take the chance. Of
too much on the line,
putting themselves out there, right?
Yeah,
like we're gonna do everything to not lose, but we're not gonna do anything to win.
Tell you what, if you lose, that other team is vaulted ahead of you, so there's a lot more to lose than there is to win. What a shame! Like $2 billion of collective soccer talent to go like play trash
feature game too on Easter, like
yeah.
Yeah, I had it on the bed while I was serving up the honey-baked ham and the deviled eggs and all that good stuff. Like, I sat myself at the table where I could see out the dining room and into... And I turned the volume off. I turned the volume off, but I was not listening to Easter stories at the table. I was trying to watch. And then I was mad that I didn't listen to the Easter stories because it was that big of a clunker.
Yeah, I just watched it by myself, and it was not memorable.
Did you look up who won the Dallas Cup Supergroup?
No.
My brother went to 5 other Dallas Cup games. He spent his week just going to Dallas Cup games like by himself. at the Cotton Bowl.
Did he get a restraining order?
No,
from the Australian women's team.
He said it was spectacular because they put the fans on either side and separate them at those big super, like, not really separated, but then he would just sit his, he would take his lawn chair out there and just sit in the middle of between the seas of like when the Dortmund club would play like the Dallas like cup. And anyway, it was Sao Paulo versus an FC Dallas team. And I don't know which team won the Super Group.
Listener, Chris, let us know. One of us cares. And to tie a bow in the high school race, you and me went on Friday night to see the poor, poor Mules of Alamo Heights end their season with a thunker, 4-1 loss to the really good Piper. And you know, I got a
friend of the pod, Danny Gomez. Danny Gomez is Piper Warriors.
You know, I got a one-on-one interview with a Heights player today, as I mentioned to you earlier. And I was like, yeah, I went to the game. What do you think happened? And he said, they were really good. They were better than us.
They were. We were there. We saw
it. That was the analysis.
We were there. They're a pretty good high school soccer team.
Shout out to 50-50 Soccer Pod for putting highlights of high school games
for sure
on Twitter. We watched the Edinburgh highlights.
Edinburgh Vela or something like that.
Yep.
Guys, if you can make it out to a high school game as we get close to the state finals, go watch it. Good night, San Antonio.